from the Tafim Aleph, the last few words of Halacha Yudches. So the beginning of the din had said that if you have a napa that has very small holes, so the Mechaber said you should clean it well, and the Ramah said the minhag is you don't clean it at all. Too bad, it's too hard to clean, and if you clean it, you're not going to get it clean. Therefore, you can't use it on Pesach. And now the Ramah continues, Aval sakim yishanim, if you have old sacks, noigim b'm heter, ayde kibos. Even though they potentially have lateral holes in it, the minhag is to be makel and to use them if you wash them. The tzarach lahatir kol hatfirus shebehem koydim hakibus. You have to untie any of the sewing or any of the knots that are in there before you. Before you do the kibus, you have to untie any of these knots and things like that, because you won't be able to get the behem out, and they'll get stuck in these little holes. Okay.
See, like the stitches at the bottom of the tongue.
Something like that. If there are things like that where food can get stuck, then you have to get it out. Okay? Now, this din that they're most talking about is a very... I can only say that when you learn this din, it's very surprising. Okay, and I'll tell you what. It really starts from the Gemara Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Avodah Zarah says that there are different kinds of filters that they used to use for cleaning out stam yayin. There's a bunch of examples. Different kinds of baskets and cloths that they used to use for filters. And the Gemara says like this. If they're made out of, in the first case, if it's made out of human hair, then you should just do hadachah to it. If it's made out of wool, then you should do niguf to it. And if it's made out of linen, then you should do yishun yudbeis chodesh. I mean, you won't be able to get the ben out of this. And since you can't get it out, you have to just wait for 12 months. After 12 months, it'll be dried up and it won't be awesome. So you have no choice. You're just hopeless and you get rid of it. Okay? Then the Gemara gives another similar example. Another case, here it's not hair and wool and linen. Here it's palm branches and gemi and linen. A bunch of cases like this that you have to, depending on how, what the material is made of, depends on what you have to do to clean it out. Now, as a side, is that the Gemara says that it has knots. You have to untie them. So my question is showing which case is that going on. Is that going on with cases when the first two cases we do hadachah and niguf to it, we just have to get the ben out, so you have to untie it before you do it, or you'll miss some of the ben. Or is it going on the last case, which is where you need yud bishchodesh, you have to untie it to let it air out, so it'll dry out, yud bishchodesh. Okay, that's the machlokes we're showing which one it means. So the Rambam over here, this thing at the end about taking out the tears, is because of that last line in the Gemara, that before you clean these things out, you got to open up the knots. It has to do with that end of the Gemara. That's not what's surprising about the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about you filtering cold stam yayin. You're filtering wine. You just pour it through this like cloth to get out pieces and things like that. So if any of us would have looked at the Gemara, we would say, "New, what happens if you have hot stam yayin? Or what happens if you have a hot isser, which is even more harmless than stam yayin? So what would be the din?" So we would say, so you have this piece of cloth that you poured, that had hot tray poured onto it, so you have to hold on to it. Okay, we would even, if you would have asked me, from a vantage point that we see now today, we would say is, well, who even knows if you could do hagol to human hair? I don't even know. It says that you could do metals and tuksa cheres, and the Gemara talks about wood, and we had about kleyed, and we had a whole bunch of examples. Human hair, I have no idea if you could do human hair. How about wool? You know, I have no idea if you could do hagol to it. So, in cautiousness, we would say, you have to do hagol, and we wouldn't even know if you could do hagol altogether. Okay? But, surprise, surprise. Tyson says over there.
No, the Gemara is only silent.
The Gemara is talking about cold. So what would happen if you had the same situation in a hot kind of a blender? We would say, well, at least you have to do a gola. And would you have to do, and we wouldn't even know if these are materials that are suitable for a gola. We would have to figure that out. I don't know. Can human hair be kosher? I have no idea. Who knows? But lo and behold, Tyson says,
yeah, that's an okay situation where you could have
the
problem of my clothes on my tray. Well, no fix of pleasure.
Your clothes?
Yeah. My collar, I dropped a little piece of meat.
Okay,
what's
wrong if you close a trade?
Yeah, honey, but...
It's like saying that in a regular home, this is not what I want to talk about, in a regular house, the floor in your kitchen is trade. Because sometimes it's fleshy, sometimes it's Muslims. But we say, who cares? Let my floor be trade. Okay, now.
Yeah, because most people don't pick up some stuff before I eat it, but I do pick up some of my shirt and eat it.
Okay, now, it's funny, because about the floors, someone wants to ask the Shiloh that they have...
What does that mean? It's not really
true. Well, you drop fleshes onto it, and then you can drop muslims onto it.
I said, you gotta eat it. You have to go up and eat it.
Well,
someone
asked. Most of the questions someone asked. This has nothing to do with what we're doing. But someone asked in a hotel kitchen when they have no room to work. They put food onto the floor. They put pot onto the floor. So for Pesach, when Andy Binyamin is usher, so he says that if the guy takes a pot, he doesn't know he has this big pot. He takes a pan of chicken out of the oven. He has no place to put it. So just put it on the floor. Before they add a stone, they just put it on the floor. So you'd be choishes that some of the shots. I'm not doing it. Now, because it's wet, the floors are dirty, also. The terrace is not again. The answer is not again. It was just in your house, you don't think about that. And you're usually dated, but never come. Okay, let's leave that on the side. So Tyson says, you know, this is exactly the opposite of what we would have dreamt. Tyson says, you know, how come the Gemara says such cases, these exact cases with this kind of basket and that kind of basket? Tyson is picking on the linen case. We have to give me Swedish. Tyson says, why did you say, linen Caleb, you have to do, you shouldn't be Swedish because you can't get from clean? Why did the Gemara say that?
What?
The Gemara gave two very specific examples of what kind of filters that you use. It says this kind of a basket and that. The Gemara gives.
Tyson says,
why didn't the Gemara say linen baskets or linen kalim? You have to use base clothes because you can't get them clean. Why didn't the Gemara say that? Giving very specific examples. The Gemara gave very specific examples of the kind of filters that they use. Why didn't the Gemara give? They say just a general thing. Linen is the kind of material that you can't get the man out of it. You should use these clothes.
I'm missing something. I think the Gemara. What's more specific about linen? That's what you said.
If you have the following kind of a filter. If it's made out of hair, then you do it like this. If it's made out of wool, you do it like this. Made out of linen, like that. Linen being so hard that you have to wait. You'd be Swedish. This is why did the Gemara say? They give two examples. Why have to give two examples? Each one of these. If it's linen, then you have to wait. You'd be Swedish. Why didn't the Gemara just say, if you have a linen clay, there's nothing you can do about it, and you have to use
Beit
Chodesh? Why would it give such a very specific example? It's like saying, if you have this and this brand, that's not what it's saying, but it's like, if you have this and this brand, then you have to wait your Beit Chodesh. Why didn't they just say, a linen clay, we wouldn't have thrown Zakasha, I wouldn't have thrown Zakasha. The Gemara just had a case. The Gemara maybe won't say the case, because it had three examples, you know, that you could say together, wool, hair, and linen, I don't know, whatever. So Tyson says, because of this kasha, I'm telling you, it's surprising, Tyson. Tyson says, because of this kasha, Tyson says, therefore the Gemara is telling you that only these kind of linen, only these kind of kalim have, is there a problem that you need Yud Beis Chodesh? But any other a tablecloth, no problem. You don't have to have Yud Beis Chodesh on it. And then Tyson says, that's not enough for you. Tyson says, and not only that, not only if it's cold, even if it's hot, the same thing also. He says, come on, if you see the way you wash these linens, you take this cloth, the way you wash them, he said, you stick them into a cliche, it's warm water, and you bang it around a lot, and everyone can see that everything gets out of this thing, it gets clean as anything, so no problem, so that's just all good enough. Okay, that's even a step past the Gemara. The Gemara was talking about cold, and Tosis made a deal about cold, but Tosis, and even if it's hot, he says, put it into a cliche, he means to say, you don't need to do real hanola. You just put it into a warm water. You put it into the hot water together with banging around. Tyson, you'll see everything comes out of it. So he says maybe. Tyson, maybe based on the Gemara and Zvachim. He says maybe if it's really sticky stuff, then that won't do the trick. Okay, but Tyson is making an assumption. Okay, an assumption that in fabrics we don't say that there's the end and there's bleas. We don't say that there are pieces that have to be cleaned out. And in addition to the pieces, there's also bleeds that are like absorbed into the material itself. But it's the between. A fabric has space between between the stitches, and it can get into there. But there is no such thing, so to speak, as a blea, as if the linen itself, the strands of linen will absorb them. That since they absorb, you have to take them out. So this is just assuming that you have to get to the end. He says, and it works. Come on, you see, when we do the kind of cleaning that the ladies do, they take a pot of hot, put some hot water into a pot, mush the stuff around, and it gets clean. So you see, it gets to the end, and he's just making this assumption that, Kinneret, that there's no problem with bleas, as we think of a blea, like it gets absorbed into it. It's in between the pieces that you get a clean out. So the Gemara had its cases that you should use basically because you can't get to the end out. But besides those few cases that the Gemara gives, any stam piece of material, no problem, you don't have to kasher it. Okay?
So when it comes to, but of course when it comes to synthetic fibers, so you need real aloha.
Okay. I'm not synthetic.
Vinyl tablecloth or plastic.
I'm not too synthetic. Hold yourself for a second. You're way ahead. Okay. Tyson is making this assumption that I don't know where it comes from, but it's just an assumption that there's no bleas in this case. It's not bleas that we think of in a metal clear that goes into the metal. It's here, it goes between the pieces, but the material itself doesn't absorb for whatever reason. Okay, so, and it's not just Tyson. Not just Tyson. The other reason I'm saying also, and the two and to bring it in Kuf Yud Ches, Kuf Lamed Ches, I'm sorry, Kuf Lamed Ches, the end of Kuf Lamed Ches is the siman about kashering, the siman about kashering clay yayin, and so far. And Rabbein Yeruchim in Kuf Chaval, when he brings it, he brings Rabbein Yeruchim, who is, if you were saying that the clay sheni has the same effect as the clay rishon, so it does the same trick, and therefore it's good enough. Okay, if you look at the Ramah in Kuf Lamed Ches, the end of one of those last halachas of Klei Yayin, first the Mechaber brought the two dinim of the Gemara, and the Ramah says, and you should know, he says if hot Stam Yayin fell onto a tablecloth, you do Hadachon, that's good enough. Okay, and he seems to be taking Tosfos Mamash at face value that you just do Hadachon, that's good enough. Okay, the Shas over there and the Magen Avraham over here and in Taf Mem Beis are not so convinced to say that the Ramah. I'm not sure if they're re-explaining the Ramah or they're arguing, but they say that it's not enough to just do Hadachah. Hadachah works if the bleah was cold, and the bleah wasn't like powdery, like flour and crummy and like that, then you could just do Hadachah. But if it was a hot bleah, or it was something like the cases in the Magen Avraham before, and it's like a bag of flour, or a bag with a lot of crumbs in it, but we have structures of a lot of little pieces, then you can't do a cold Hadachah. What you have to do is hot, like what Tosfos says at the end of the Tosfos. You have to do, the way the Magen Avraham words it, he says you have to do three parts. You have to have hot water. Hot water meaning cliche, meaning hot water. You have to bang it around a lot to try to get it clean, and you have to use soap. Okay, so it's a drop past what Tosfos says, but the general idea of what Tosfos said, which is that you don't have to do Hagola like in a cleavation. You just wash it up and do a good washing. They seem to be happy with that. And the Mishmur, when he brings it, here and in Taf Mem Beis, in both places. When he brings it, he seems to take it like that. That in case when there's a hot bleah or there's a sticky thing or it's very crummy like that, you have to do the washing, so to speak. But you don't do a formal hagolah. Like we would think of a hagolah. Now the Ramah by us is a little bit stronger than it was in Jeremiah. He says avosakim yishanim mergim and heter as a kibus. Okay, so here he uses the word kibus, which is closer to what the Taz, what the Shach and the Magen Avraham are saying. He doesn't say if he means kibus hot or cold. Okay, the Shach and the Magen Avraham are stronger that when in our kind of case, there's a lot of crumbs, or there's sticky stuff, or hot, they're stronger that over there you have to have hot water and soap in it also. Okay, but whether they're arguing the Ramah or not, I'm not sure. It seems like they are, but the Mishmur seems to take on like the Shach and the Magen Avraham say, that you need to do hot water and soap.
Does it say anywhere about this type of thing with Ben? You're getting clean with Ben, basically. If you could do it on Pesach also?
To get rid of Ben?
Yeah, but can you do this cleaning with the Sakin?
Okay, so if you're just getting rid of Ben, then I don't know someone says, but what would be the reason not
right,
to
do
that? Right, it would be right. You can't do on Pesach, because that's a din later, because the bleah that comes out is going to make the thing trafe again.
Right.
All the usual ain't ben yomers and stuff like that don't work, so it's going to make the thing trafe again. But I guess the band would work also.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure you're right, but maybe, I'm just thinking maybe because they're sunnuch also on Bittel. Maybe like they're being sunnuch on Bittel.
Well, how could you say they're being sunnuch on Bittel when even if you did this cleaning before Pesach, the band that's left is going to get seafood on Pesach? No. Even if you did the cleaning before Pesach, if you left a piece of the end there,
it's
not going to be bottled, because you're going to use this sack on Pesach. So you're going to use this tablecloth, you can use it on Pesach. So if there's some of the it's not going to work. Okay? So now, just to summarize rough to right now.
Yeah.
Okay. You would have thought that if there's a hot bleed onto a piece of fabric, you would need a regular hagolo, like you just think of,
Duncan's book. Let's say a tablecloth.
A tablecloth, exactly.
Yeah.
You would have thought that you need a regular hagol to it because it's bleah, and we saw from Tosfos that that's not true, and that washing it like what we would call just sticking it onto a hot wash into the washing machine will do the trick. Okay, that's considered enough to kasher. Well, we talked a little bit about where Tosfos got it from. Okay, now, so but the question is like this. What would you say if the person doesn't want, as often as is the case with a tablecloth, doesn't want to put it into a hot wash? Okay, it's not up to going to a hot wash, and he wants to dry clean it. Okay, he wants to send it off for dry cleaning. He wants to launder it, but he doesn't want to launder it with hot, like the mug and a
Don't they laundry? Don't they put it through hot?
So no. When you dry clean something, dry cleaning is done. There's no water. If it uses a different solvent, whatever the solvents are, that's the environmentalists are talking about which solvents to use. They use a solvent, and they do not make it hot. It goes to, the way I read it was 85 degrees. Okay, 85 degrees, that's as hot as it gets. So over there, so the one way to look at it is, look, we're saying like the Magen Avraham, that if there's a hot bliya, which a tablecloth would have, a tablecloth is not a thing that gets a lot of like flour and crumbs like the sack, but it's something that does have potentially a hot bliya onto it. So if you go like the shach of the Magen Avraham, the Ramah says kibbutz. The shach of the Magen Avraham, the way the Mishmur is taking them on, means it has to be hot and with soap. So this solvent is just as good as soap. The point, it's a solvent. It's meant to clean the things that end out of it. But so if we take them at face value, we would say is there's no heat over here. You can get 85 degrees. At the end, there's like a drying at the end, but that's not for cleaning. That's just to get the solvent out. They do a little hotter to get the solvent out. But for 85 degrees, there's no heat. There's not really any heat over here. Oh, that's one part. The other hand is, you have to remember where we're coming from. This whole din is coming from a Tosis, and Tosis is saying the whole premise of this din is, if you get all of the ends really well out of the fabric, that's enough to get even for hot bleeders. Okay, that's the premise we're working on. And now the Magen Avraham and the Shach are talking about the details of that. Doesn't need soap and hot water, doesn't need soap, but we're working from a premise of Tosis, who said that if you do a good job getting the thing clean, okay, in his case, it was in a cliche with hot water. But his point was, if you do get all the pieces out, then that's doing the koshering, so to speak, for the fabric. Okay, so what I'm saying is that even though the Magen Avraham makes a point of saying that it has to be hot water and it's got to be soap, at the same time, it's not far-fetched to say that if you do dry cleaning, then you're taking care of it also, because the point here is that everyone is saying that for fabrics, you don't need to, for linens, you don't need to do the same koshering that you need to do the way we think of it if you have a metal spoon. And they're saying, just do a good job to get all the end out of the fabric, it's good enough to do. To get it clean, it's good enough. Okay, so I'm just saying there's good reason to say that if you just, I don't know if that is correct, but there's good reason to say that if you just, you dry cleaning it, even though there isn't a Magen Avraham seed, has the same effect, and therefore it's good enough. Okay?
So you don't know.
I don't know what the answer to that is, but I see good reason. The passage is, if you read just the Magen Avraham, I'm saying, if you just read the Mishnah Berurah, he says, oh, you have to use hot water and soap and banging, you say, okay, dry cleaning is not the trick. When we understand that it's coming from a Tosis, that Tosis' whole premise of this whole thing is, if you get all the van out, it's going to work. And that now we're talking about details, how you get the van out. And so we'll say like the Magen Avraham that you have to use heat and you have to have soap, you have to say like that. But we're working from a premise of a Tosis, that the idea here is, get the van out and you're covered, even though the bleeder was hot, then what's the difference with dry cleaning? Tosis didn't have a dry cleaning.
No, they dry clean the windows.
I don't know what they do. I'm not talking about the whole time. I'm talking about in a house, plenty
of... They don't want it done?
I don't know. In a house,
there's all different types of, you know, synthetic. Some people go over there and say they only want dry cleaning.
But I don't. So in a house, lots of people will do that. Now, right, your question: what happens if you have a fabric that's not one of these materials, synthetic? I don't know what to say here because we have a funny. We don't know how to judge this thing.
I can give it a Kaylee, man, out of the same material. You tell me a pint of plastic, Kaylee, you tell me you got
an idea.
Pilot, you can't even do Angola. Now if you make a cloth out of it, so what?
You have a good point. But you're probably right. But what would you say if I would have told you an hour ago that if you have a thing made out of linen, you would have said you would have also thought we had Angola.
Well,
so what happened?
Right. So a couple of them was in the Chinese say that linen just needs washing. But, you know, linen is a natural fiber, and that's, you know...
Well, and the Gemara also said about wool and hair, and the Gemara didn't seem to be very particular.
About plastic.
But, okay, so maybe it's different. I mean, plastic is not really a fiber. I'm saying it's just a... When you make a...
Right,
something, if you make
a thin strand.
Right, it's just a very thin piece of plastic. It's not a fiber, so to speak. Like, okay, so there's what to say about that, okay? That's usually... Okay, I guess you don't be plastic. You're like a polyester. I'm going to be plastic. Okay, polyester is the same thing. Okay, synthetic. Okay, that's a good question. Okay, so now let's move to a different case, not a home case, an industrial case, okay, which is the simple industrial case is if you have belts that are made out of fabric, okay, that's a common thing. You make a belt out of fabric. But more complicated is what's called a bag house. When a bag house, okay, a bag house is, I should have brought my picture with you, that would have helped, which is like this. When you, it's used particularly in spray dryers, but it's used in lots of things where you have air that's carrying particles in it. So after you finish spray drying, you get most of the particles out, but the air at the end still has some particles in it. So companies, either because they want to catch those particles, or usually more importantly, they don't want to spew those particles into the atmosphere. It's not good for the atmosphere. They don't. Well, they're not allowed to. So they want to clean the air before they let it out the chimney. So the way, one of the ways that they clean it is they use something called a bag house. A bag house is, it's a big box, and the box has things sticking down that look like legs. They look like very long legs. Okay. And on top of each leg, it's like a metal frame, and on top of each one is what they call a sock, okay, because it looks like it's on a leg, okay? It looks, it's this huge, it's this tall sock. I should have put on a picture. It's a tall thing. It's like as tall as a person is, okay, maybe 4 or 5 feet tall. These socks, so maybe 50 of these legs, 50 of these socks, sock-covered legs, so to speak, hanging in this thing. And what happens is that the leg is not really anything. It's just a frame, like a metal frame, over which the sock gets pulled over it, and what happens is the air gets sucked through this, and those socks act as a filter to filter the air out. So the air goes through this thing, and it comes out clean, leaving the end on the sock. Okay?
It's a filter.
It's a filter. Okay? It's called a bag house. Okay? Because those things are called bags.
And every spray dryer has
No, not at all.
Do we know has one?
I'm sure we do. I have to think it through. In a lot of companies, the stuff that's recovered from the bag house, the product that gets stuck with it, they don't keep it. It goes to the garbage. It's not, their reason to do it is because they're trying to save the environment. Okay, well, the government wants to save the environment. And the product that comes out of it gets thrown to the garbage, right, like to animal feed. So if that's true, then we don't care. It's not a game to us. But in plenty of, there are other people who choose to save that product, especially if they keep making the same thing all day long.
Save it?
They collect it and they sell it. Why not? It's just as good as anything else.
Oh, it's the product.
If they're making milk powder, then the powder that goes there, instead of being carried out into the air, it's being caught on these bags and dropping down to the floor. So why shouldn't they keep it? Okay. Now,
They're clean once in a while, right?
Right, now, there's two different ways to make these bags, and mamela, two ways to clean it. One way is they're made out of like a rubber, okay, a rubber that doesn't absorb and doesn't get hold germs and doesn't, like, you know, it's very sanitary. And for those, what they'll do is to clean it, they will rarely take them off. What they'll just do is, they call it pulse air in it. Okay, they just blow air either from the inside or from the outside, they bang it with air to basically get off the biggest pieces. Because when it gets too much powder caked onto it, it doesn't work anymore. Okay? It doesn't filter anymore. They just got to knock off the pieces every once in a while, but they don't need to clean it. In fact, it's good to keep some BN on this, because they say that what happens is the holes are too big to act as filter. The holes in the sock are too big. The first bunches of product that land on it help close up the holes and make them for better filters. So actually, the first product that goes through there is helping to filter better than the fabric itself. So they don't want to have it perfectly clean. If anything, it hurts to have it perfectly clean. So for these that never hold germs and don't do anything, they could leave them there forever. They just shoot air at it every so often, or shake it up to get the biggest pieces off, so it'll still work. Okay. And the ones that are made out of fabric, those I'll take them down every so often, and they'll wash them. They send them out for laundry service. Okay? And so they'll have two sets, and then send one out for laundry, and they put up a different set. So now, if the company is keeping products from this bag house, then you have to, there's two things here. There's a few things. The bags have to be cleaned. Like we've just been saying, the bags have to be cleaned. They're full of BN, obviously. The filter is terribly full of BN, and they have to be cleaned. But what gets complicated is it's a long process to take down all these bags and put them back up. It takes hours to take them down and put them back up. So the company says, guys, I have to be down for 24 hours anyhow. You want me to be in a binyamin? So during the 24 hours, I'll take the bags down and I'll put up the new ones. Okay, that would be their typical thing. They say, I'll take them down and put them back up. Okay, so what's happening is if you do that, then they'll say is, you can't put any water into my bag house. No way am I going to let you put water into there afterwards. Because once I put up all the new bags, if you put water into them, then I'm going to have to dry them out. They're not going to work dripping wet. I'm going to have to dry them out. So that there's no water in there once I put up the new ones, which means is that the chamber and the frames, the things that hold the bags in place, are not going to get touched. Okay? Really what should happen is if the company is recovering from theirs, they need to kasher the frames and the chamber before they put the bags back up, and then the bags go up afterwards. Okay? Which adds hours, literally hours, onto the thing because they, after you finish your whole, it's end of Ben Yarmouth, then you do your whole kashering, and then you still have to take hours to put the stuff back on. It's a big pot to put the bag on. Okay? So I was actually once very impressed when I walked into a place. It was making, in fact, milk powder. And they made, yeah, they called it, they made regular and kosher, which meant was kosher and chol v'shol. So, of course, they didn't realize that they were insulting the rabbi and tell him that you're the not kosher, that's the kosher. But anyway, okay.
But they got it straight. Okay.
But they called it this kosher. This is, that was kosher. No, you're regular and they're kosher. But anyhow, I asked what does the rabbi for the chol v'shol wasn't there. And I said, what does he do about the bakehouse for chol v'shol? I says, oh, when he does his runs, he won't let them take any products from the bakehouse. Okay? So the bakehouse is in fact complicated to kosher, and that's a very smart
way. Where is this bakehouse located?
What it'll be is if you have a dryer.
Yeah.
After the dryer, usually goes to a cyclone.
Right.
The cyclone does the main filtering of separating the air from the product. Okay?
Right.
The exhaust air from the cyclone. The cyclone looks like an ice cream cone. Okay.
Right.
At the bottom of the ice cream cone, the product is falling out.
Right.
Okay. On the top of the ice cream cone, in the center, the air is being blown out of that thing. Okay. That air goes someplace. Okay.
Right.
If you have it either usually goes to a bakehouse, or it goes to what's called a wet scrubber, or it goes
higher,
to the atmosphere.
Which is higher?
Well, you have to follow the venting. Yeah, it has to go someplace. Either to a bakehouse, or what's called a wet scrubber, or to just goes out to the air. It could just go to the air. But that's where it would go from the top of that, of the cyclones, it would be going off to the... Okay. Okay. Now, I want to do one more thing here. Because the whole din was talking about things with little holes in them, and this is the main din about things with little holes in them, I'm going to talk about something that has nothing to do with fabric, which is mainly for paper, which is dental appliances. Okay? Dental appliances means anything that they put into your mouth. That is a fancy way to say anything you put into your mouth. Okay, this comes... What I'm going to say to you... is I spent some time with an orthodontist when I used to live in New York, Dr. Tzvi Rubin, a fine from orthodontist who put braces on one of my kids also afterwards. So we went through a bunch of these things. So a lot of the practical issues here are his, not mine. They're not my, I don't know this stuff. Okay, now, before we start about the dental appliances, there's an assumption, there's a truth in the Tzitzel Yezer about this, and there are others who talk about this, there's an assumption that the things that are in your mouth do not get hot bleeds. Okay? The assumption, the simplest reason for that is to say is people don't put things into their mouth that are yatsla disposed. Okay? That's an assumption that usually there's no bleeds. There's all kinds of stories why there maybe aren't, but we're making most people make the assumption that there are no, there's the end in your mouth, but there's no bleeds in your mouth.
Does anyone drink coffee?
And
coffee or tea?
Okay. So it's a good question. It's a good question. And Dr. Ryan talk a lot about this, but you realize what you're saying, that if you say that your mouth has hot bleas in it, then on Pesach, when you eat hot food, okay, or worse, on Pesach, if you eat horseradish or maror, which is double harf, okay, when you grind it, okay, so you'll bring those bleas out into your food. So if you have a filling in your mouth, okay, there's a piece of metal sitting in your mouth, that if you say that metal has bleas inside of it, then when you eat hot food on Pesach, you're going to make it trace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And for that matter, now, for milchus inflations, you'll tell me that, it's not or not, and maybe it's mutter. But for Pesach, and with things are also, then you have, so the Achronim who talk about this are, that's like hovering over their head, which is, you can't make it mutter because of that, but if it's usher, then people are really up the creek. And in fact, there are people who are particular, for 24 hours before Pesach, they won't eat anything hot, in order to make it Ein Ben Yarmouth, which minimizes the issue. It's still not mutter, because Ein Ben Yarmouth is still us, they won't eat that. And some of them go even as far as to be careful about eating hot food on Pesach,
okay?
Which gets tricky again, but if you want to eat horseradish.
You have to love this food.
Yeah, you have to love this food. Okay, so the best people...
Or Davar Charif.
Or Davar Charif, right. But I'm saying to you, as
so
people being extra careful, because it'll bring up, we had before dinner sakin, if you cut that, brings bleeds out, the double harf is
like a sakin?
It's like a grinder, yeah. Another example.
Two things on it, like a sakin kind of thing?
Sakin is one case, but it also says a grinder. It has a whole bunch of things.
I don't think it's like a grinder.
You don't think your teeth is like a grinder?
Sharp tooth is this.
You think the tooth is like grinding?
I think it's like a pulverizer.
Yeah, okay. Right. A pulverizer is also an example. I don't have a
link
to
the cutting. I don't know. of action.
No, it also has the same din of its duchah the sakina from grinding something up also.
How do you know what it's saying?
So I don't remember. We did this a few days ago. I'll have to find you the mind. Okay.
No, I know. Grinder is the same thing. I think teeth is the same like a grinder.
I'm just, then maybe that's my assumption. Okay. So anyhow, but it's a for sure hat, and I'm saying to you, but again, I will repeat to you that most of them assume that email does not have bleeds. But there are people who do it as a hakpada. They won't eat hat for 24 hours beforehand.
Do they brush their teeth?
And brush your teeth, we're getting that. But that's what helps you the end. That's what helps you the end. I'm talking about it has a hot belief in it.
Right.
So you can't cut your mouth.
Right.
You can't cut your mouth.
My wife always says,
okay. Good.
This is as far as the thing, Balchai is not Belay.
Oh, so that I was going to say, but I was going to say it was because when we learned this in, Rafael said to us, we were talking about these kind of things, and he said to us,
what does it mean, Balchai?
Well, his question was, he says, why?
He said to us, I put hot trace things. And he said, my fingernail, I put on a trace piece of meat. And now it's trace.
He said to us, why are we worried about your dentures? Why are we worried about your teeth themselves?
Yeah.
He says, if every day there's something hot.
Are we talking about dentures or are we talking about teeth?
We're talking about dentures. All kinds of dental appliances. That's not talking about.
You didn't say that. See, that's what I was going
to say. Right. Well, you started like that, but I thought you went to teeth.
I'm sorry. No, I was talking about. No, I'm talking
right.
only that.
Right.
No, I'm sorry. I'm talking only about things that are in your mouth that you weren't. And it's kidding, you went forward. That aren't natural.
I was going
no.
Weren't you thinking of Zelda's up?
I always died.
I'm sorry, I thought I started like that. So, Rafael, he asked us a silly question. He said to us, why are we worried about your dentures? He says, why aren't you worried about your teeth also? Which we didn't know. The answer is, like he said, that a Baha'i is not blade. It's an assumption that a living thing is not blade.
Permanent bridge.
All those things that are not natural that you didn't grow out of your mouth that they were put in.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you say if you just you say I had a hot coffee, okay?
Right.
So if I just had something hot hummus, okay, I had not a hot coffee, I had a hot piece of a hot pancake, okay, hummus in my mouth. So now how am I going to go eat hot something else? I'm pissed off. How I eat a hot piece of chicken?
No.
Why would I or hot coffee? I'm pissed off. Why would I be eating? I have a piece of tray clean my mouth. I'm cleaning my whole, I'm cashing my whole house and not my mouth. Okay. So I'm saying most of them assume that there's no bleeds in your mouth for whatever reason. But I'm telling you, there are people who might. But the question that they get to us is, let's get past the bleeds. But what about then? Okay. These things that are in your mouth. They have lots of places that food can get stuck into them.
Right.
So, like Moshe said, of course, it's appropriate to brush your teeth, even for your natural teeth have holes in them, potentially have spaces where food gets stuck. Okay, good. I'm just going to go through a few of those things, okay? And the suggestions you're about to hear are not from me, they're from the doctor, okay? Okay, he said, filling in crowns, you just brush them and that'll take care of it. Bite plates, retainers, and dentures are not so intricate. Okay, there aren't so many holes in them, and you could just use a toothbrush. You take them out, and you just do a toothbrush, and they're fine. Okay, now, just as an aside, there are people who advise others to do hagol to those things that come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, and the problem is that this is a classic case of a thing where you're afraid you're going to ruin it by kashering it. Okay, because
they're free kids,
which means you're not a kasher. And at the same time, there's another thing to remember, which is, and this might help for your rest of your mouth problems, which is that we had before him that the ikkar din is you only have to be kosher for rosh tashmishay. You don't have to be kosher for the occasional use of a kli. You only have to kasher based on the main way. The ikkar din. You only have to be kosher for the main way something was used. And the Rama says, but our we hold that you should be machmir for me a tashmisha, to which it was a base mayor and put in the shayach in. If that will mean you can't kosher it, you don't have to be kosher for me a tashmisha. So that might save all of our dental appliances. In my mouth, basically, I just have cold food going into there. Okay, roy tashmisha is just with cold that needs to be clean. Me tashmisha is once in a while I have something hot in there that makes a bleed into there. So the ikkar din is you don't have to be kosher for me a tashmisha. Usually I'm machmir, only if you can. If you can't be machmir, then you don't have to be machmir to be tashmishah. So what am I going to do? I'm going to kasher my fillings? What am I going to do? I'm going to dunk myself into boiling water? I can't do it. So therefore, you don't have to be kosher for me a tashmishah when it doesn't work. Okay, so that might answer the first question, but it for sure relates to the people who take the biplates out of their mouth and dunk it into boiling water, where you know that there's a good chashash you're going to burn, and the guy won't do hagol anyhow. Okay. Now,
that's a good answer.
Yeah, that's a good answer to the general question. Okay, yes, that's correct. Okay, now, bridge work, overdentures and implants, I don't remember what all those are, okay, usually have spaces in them, okay? That is to say, the bridge on the bottom has no space in it. I'll use this as an example. The bridge has no space on the bottom, but between the bridge and your gum, or between the bridge and the next tooth, there might be a space, and there's something made exactly for cleaning this thing out. Okay, I should have put one in. Brought my sister's what?
There is no space.
Okay, I should have brought. I should have brought my daughter has it from her braces. It's called a Proxa brush. Proxa. Okay, it looks like a little brush, like a little wire brush.
Yes, yes,
okay,
yes.
And it's made exactly for this. It fits into these tight little spaces
right.
in your mouth,
right.
and it cleans something out. You pull it out, it comes out with, you wouldn't believe what you can get out with this
yeah.
thing. Okay, all kinds of stuff. Okay, and that's also used for braces. The same thing also. Kids who have braces, so there are boxes that are glued onto the tooth. That's nothing. But between those things and the wires, there's loads of food gets stuck into it. So a Proxa brush, or he said an electric brush, toothbrush works for that also. Okay, if you want to be super careful, you can actually, he said it's really easy for an orthodontist to take the wire off of a braces. Okay? He says it's very easy to do it. So if you really want to be extra careful, you could do that. Okay. Now, the last thing is, okay, one last thing to say about this is, of course, whatever special cleaning you do for your teeth in general, or especially if you have these other things stuck in your mouth, you have to do them after you stop to finish eating hummus. Right? It doesn't do help to do that and then go ahead and have French toast afterwards. Okay, so this year, that's more complicated. Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. So a lot of these cleanings would be things you would want to do not on Shabbos. You want to do before. But on Shabbos, many people are still cleaning in chametz. Okay, so a person who wants to do this kind of a thing would need to do his cleaning on Erev Shabbos and then eat Egmas. Whatever, just not in chametz then if he wants to be doing this careful. I have to mention one thing, I'm sorry, from before. If you're going to say that the reason why your dental appliances don't need to be kosher is because you're only choshish for roi tesh mishay, nothing choshish for me tesh mishay. You have to remember, the Mishnah Berurah said, it's from a Rishon, the Mishnah Berurah said, that only works when it's ein ben yomei. If a thing is ben yomei, then you can't say I'm being choshish, only doing roi tesh mishay. At the beginning, that holds in that you could go the main way you use the clear, that's what you have to think about, it's only if the clear is ein ben yomei. So if you're going to say that it's mutter, that the filling in my mouth, I don't have to worry about it on Pesach, because roi tesh mishay is not with hot, I have to make sure not to use it for hot chametz or maybe hot anything for 24 hours before Pesach, because you can only do me tesh, you can only soimach on roi tesh mishay if the kli is ein ben yomei. So just, if you're being working with that kind of a cheshbon, then you have to not eat hot chametz for the day before.